Hi, is this the green kale?
This one is.
And what is...
This is the red kale.
And that's red.
The sounds at a local farmer's market in a parking lot in Somerville, Massachusetts. There are roughly 7,000 farmer's markets in the U.S., and now more of them, roughly 4,000 more of them, will be able to accept food stamps. The federal government has $4 million in grants to help buy new equipment for farmer's markets that don't already process food stamps or, as they're used today, electronic benefit transfer or EBT cards. So how might that go? Well, Sarah Cardinale runs the Abington Farmers Market in Abington, Virginia. They were the first in that state to accept food stamps, so they're already doing it. And Sarah, this was back in 2009, and you did it with the help of a grant from the Connecticut-based group Wholesome Ways. How did it work?
Well, it's quite an involved process. First things first is you really have to get approval from the government. But groups like ours who were just sort of pioneering it with the token system and all of that, that we had to get lots of waivers and special.
Well, explain that token system. You have about 50 vendors. This will be the fourth season doing this. People swipe the EBT card and then they get tokens which they can go to use to buy the fresh foods?
Exactly. So basically what the customer is doing is purchasing tokens that they can then use with any of the food vendors at the farmer's market. So the same rules apply. You know, they couldn't buy any of the hot food at the farmer's market. They would only be eligible to buy the SNAP eligible items, produce, meat, eggs, cheese, that sort of thing.
And SNAP, again, is the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program. And so people would fan out with their tokens, buy things that were eligible under SNAP, like lettuce and tomatoes, and then those vendors would come back to the central staging area and they'd be repaid for that.
Right. At our market, what we do is the vendors have an envelope with dates and columns with different kinds of tokens, and they will tally them for me. They will give me their envelope at the end of the day, and then the next week they'll receive their envelope back with a check in it reimbursing them for last week's sales.
And we mentioned this group Wholesome Ways that enabled you to do this with a grant. They also had a matching program for EBT purchases?
That's right. So when an EBT customer comes up and purchases $5 worth of tokens using their federal benefits, we give them an additional $5 worth of tokens for a total of 10 to spend.
So they have double the kale.
That's right.
Well, but did they? I mean, how did it go? Did you have a lot of people doing this?
Well, our first year, of course, we had modest numbers. We had about $1,500 worth of sales. That was also doubled, so that was about $3,000. And keep in mind, that's $3,000 worth of sales that otherwise would not have been at the market at all because those customers did not have a way to spend their money at the market. So the next year, it nearly quadrupled. We had about $4,500 worth of sales. And then doubled about the same, so we had about 9,000 total.
Well, what do you say, though, to people who aren't seeing that kind of return? There are critics of the idea of the government funding the purchase of this equipment so that people can use EBT cards at farmers markets because they say people don't do that. The New York Post ran a piece in which a farmers market near Raleigh, North Carolina, put in an EBT system. They only had an average of 15 sales a week. Others say, look, there's fresh food at supermarkets.
Sure. There are definitely things to consider before you just plunge in and decide to take a free machine. One of the biggest things is it's new. Food stamp customers are not even aware that they can even do such a thing as come to the farmer's market and spend their money there. So promotion is a really big deal. And markets that aren't promoting it, markets that aren't working proactively to make sure that they are welcoming and inviting and not stigmatizing the customers, it can really put a damper on their sales for sure.
Well, and I would say perhaps as to the criticism that people have supermarkets they can go to with fresh food, not every neighborhood does. We know that.
Sure.
But what about the criticism that food markets are so much more expensive, that farmers markets are so, you know, they've become almost boutique in some areas?
I'm sure that's the case in some areas, but I'll tell you from our experience in our area, there was a study done from the Southeast region by Scale Incorporated that took a sampling of items at the market, really common things like apples, and compared them to supermarket grocery store prices, and it was something like 75% of the time the food was as affordable or even cheaper than it was at the supermarket. So I think that myth is one that is not deserved. The only time really where the farmer's market was considerably more expensive was when you were getting into the pasture-based meats and that sort of thing. But overall, produce was it's very competitive.
And what about concerns about fraud? As we said, users of the EBD cards are only allowed to use them for certain foods. They're not allowed to use them for, let's say, alcohol or to get cash back. But there have been reports, stings that have shown people swiping the cards and getting cash. We were reading a blog called Fresh Talk, and the writer worries that some of that fraud might be now happening at farmers markets where there's so many vendors and it'll be hard to safeguard.
I've read that blog, and I'll have to say that the example he was pointing to was of a small convenience store, which doesn't mean to say that that certainly could never happen at a farmer's market. But if I had my wine vendor turning in EBT tokens, I wouldn't reimburse them.
It sounds like you also have the safeguard where they're not getting cash anywhere along the line. They're swiping for tokens, so
right. That
eliminates that. But meanwhile, what kind of feedback are you getting from these people? I mean, you've doubled in number every year. What are people telling you who are using the EBT cards at your farmer's market?
You know, you'd be really surprised. I think that we all have this sort of image of the person who may be on food stamps, but 40% of the people on food stamps are actually children in homes. Many of them are working, for example, and I have lots of stories like this, but one gentleman who came to use his food stamps with us came down with his head hung low. He had just been laid off for the first time in 20 years. So every week he would come and use his card and with his wife and his young child. And then about 3 months later, he came back with a triumphant smile on his face and said, "This is the last time I'm going to have to use this card," because he had just received a job. So it's people like that who are at the market using their benefits.
Well, and what are people buying? Are they saying that they're buying things that, I mean, you're talking about someone who had lost their job, but there are people who are coming perhaps from chronically underemployed areas, neighborhoods, where there isn't a lot of fresh food? Are they telling you that they're buying things they might not have bought at home?
Yes. We broke down our numbers from last year on how much of the federal benefits spent at the market were spent on fresh produce, and it was almost 70%. What people are using their tokens for is produce. So we definitely see that at our market.
Yeah. Well, and as we heard a little bit of sound as we started, you know, anyone who comes to a market can be discovering kale for the first time.
Exactly.
Sarah Cardinale, she runs the Abingdon Farmers Market in Abingdon, Virginia, the first in that state to accept food stamps or the EBT card. To see the study she talked about, comparing food prices at farmers markets with supermarkets, go to hereandnow.org. Sarah, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And if you're with a farmer's market, let us know your experience on Twitter at Here and Now or at Here and Now Robin, at facebook.com/HereAndNowRadio, where if you click the like button, you may already know what we're doing tomorrow. But for everyone else, tomorrow we'll have the story of Noah Pippin. He survived 3 brutal tours in Iraq, then walked into the Montana wilderness and disappeared. What happened? That's tomorrow. Up next, an American in Moscow, Here and Now.